the laureate of Österlen Memorial Award 2016. The UN Convention on the Rights of the Child acknowledged that children have the right to express their opinions and thoughts, and the freedom to seek, receive, and access to all information of all kinds. Children have also the right to participate in cultural life and activities especially arranged for them. For us, the Swedish Arts Council, this convention is the foundation of our work. Children and young adults are an important target group for us. At least 30% of the activities and projects financed by us are aimed for culture for the young. The Rights of the Child is also one of the foundations of Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award, in accordance with the humanistic spirit of Astrid Lindgren. We are of course pleased with the process by the government to make this convention into law in Sweden. Freedom of speech is another priority of the Arts Council. We are constantly reminded of threats against the human right. All writers have the right to write books without any interference or pressure from any political agenda. This year we celebrate the 250th anniversary of the adoption of legal guarantees for freedom of information and free press in Sweden. In 1766, Swedish Parliament abolished censorship of books and newspaper and required authorities to provide public access to all official records. And the Swedish Art Council is of course part of the celebration with several activities this year. Astrid Lindgren changed children's literature forever. Meg Rosoff's readers may be older than hers, but she had developed literature for young adults as few before her. Her writing is an example of writers who do not let themselves be guided by political correctness, promotion of specific issues or ideas advocated by society or public opinion. Meg Rosoff, you are truly a writer in the spirit of Astrid Lindgren, and it's a pleasure having you here. Thank you.
Thank you, Staffan. In Meg Rosoff's books, you might find yourself out on a limb as a reader, because terrible catastrophes, threats, and at times even war kind of swirl around the characters. So when I read it, I tremble, I hope for a miracle, and I totally identify with those big, great existential challenges that we all must face just by being human beings. And Meg does not ever shy away from the fragility of life or the intensity and danger of finding yourself being desperately in love. Now here's a song that puts this fragile and tender state into music. Bo Kaspers Orkester, Ett ögonblick i sänder.
Oh, my skin.
Swedish government in 2002, 15 laureates have received the award. Meg Rosoff is the 16th laureate and the 8th writer to be awarded. To be considered for this award, the candidate's works or activities must be of the highest quality. The candidates must also embrace the humanistic values Astrid Lindgren treasured. Or, with Astrid's own words, a childhood without books. Now that would be no childhood. That would be like being shut out from that enchanted place where you can go and find the rarest kind of joy. This year, 215 candidates from 59 countries were nominated, and this list is like a gold mine for anybody who is looking for good books from other countries. We've actually nominated candidates from all continents. We want the books to travel, to be translated and read outside of the countries in which they were written. I know, words, but important they are because this prize is unique in the world and very worth being proud of. But enough of me. Let's hear what Meg wrote. Please welcome the actor Hamadi Kimiri, who will read from Meg Rosoff's book, What I Was.
In the dark ages, most of life took place out of doors. The planting, herding, cooking, the buying and selling, the weddings, births, deaths, wars. In Finn's version of life in the 20th century, not much had changed. Despite the cold, we walked and fished, lay on the beach and stared at the sunlit clouds or the stars in the night sky, pulled in the traps, messed about in boats. We walked to market with his fish or his bag of crabs and, like the Angles and Saxons, exchanged these commodities for things we didn't have. A hammer, a loaf of bread, a pair of woolen socks. After only 10 days at the hut, I could appreciate the advantages of such a world. A world with nothing extra or unnecessary in it. A cooking pot, a place to sleep, a friend, a fire. What more did I require? I loved the simple richness of our domestic life, the overlapping rhythms, the glancing contacts, the casual seeming but carefully choreographed dance played out through the rooms of a shared house. I even learned to accept Finn's silence for what it was, and not read it as reproach. It was a lesson that had proved valuable in later life, this acceptance of another person's silence, for I am more of the silence filler sort of person, hopeless on birdwatching expeditions. the effort required to adapt, I became accustomed to whole days, or parts of days during which we barely spoke, just drifted side by side in what was for me a dreamy silence filled with unspoken words that slipped out of my brain and floated up to dissipate in the cold blue sky. I began to pick up some of Finn's jobs, shoveling sand into the latrine, fetching water from the open tank at the far end of the huts. Neither of us commented on my expanded role, but I could read expressions on Finn's face that I might not have noticed before. Slight shifts of the eyes or movements of the corners of the mouth. Pleasure, displeasure, impatience, and very occasionally, interest, amusement. Sometimes I believe I could chart the passage of thoughts across his face, though the content of those thoughts remained a mystery to me, as if written in another language. For the rest of my break, we lived together in a boyish ideal, my boyish ideal of perfect happiness. I became used to the feel and the taste of my own salty skin. My face turned brown from exposure all day to the April sun, and for once in my life, my hair felt thick, textured with salt. There was no mirror in Finn's hut, so I could look at him and imagine myself each day growing taller and slimmer and bolder. It was a lie, in ways I already suspected, in ways I hadn't yet imagined, but it made me happy. And even then, I knew that happiness was something in which to plunge headlong and damn the torpedoes. Our time together would have to end. I knew that. I knew also that the pain of leaving this place would be intolerable, like death. In all the years that followed, I have longed, sometimes quite desperately, to ask Finn about those weeks, to ask whether they were happy only for me, whether they remained vivid only in my head. I have wanted to ask whether my presence caused for any change for the better, any change at all. But I couldn't ask. It was once again the supplicant in me, the endlessly repentant me, who wanted somehow to know that it had all been worthwhile, that destruction and ruin wasn't all I brought to the little house by the sea.
Thank you, Amavi Kimili, for sharing this wonderful text. Now, if you haven't yet read this book, please do. And if you haven't, by chance, read anything from Meg Rosoff's pen, then you might be inspired to do so after this next presentation.
Although I'm 59 years old, I'm still an adolescent in my heart. And I think we all are. Meg Rosoff believes in young people. She believes in their ability to solve problems. Her main characters struggle with identity, sexuality, and anxiety about the future.
He looked impossibly familiar, like a fantasy version of myself, with the face I'd always hoped would look back at me from the mirror. The bright, flickering quality of his skin reminded me of the surface of the sea. He was almost unbearably beautiful, and I had to turn away, overcome with pleasure and longing, and a realization of life's desperate unfairness.
The main characters find themselves in situations they haven't chosen, searching for meaning in the strange, dark, and sometimes bizarre world around them.
been in a war, and you're wondering how long it takes to get used to losing everything you think you need or love, I can tell you the answer is no time at all.
Despite the common theme, no story is ever the same.
A friend? I don't hate Suzanne, but I can't bring myself to like her either. She's one of these people who thinks that because I'm young, I'm blind to what's true and what's not. I see her far more clearly than she sees me. Perhaps more clearly than she sees herself.
It is existential and full of insight and very humorous. And that's not an opposite to darkness.
My meeting with Lucy's mother went well. I think she liked me. Though, I don't suppose it matters really. I'm God. She's not. I don't have to ask her anything. I'm just trying to do things the right way. Be polite. For Lucy's sake. Actually, to be perfectly honest, I don't give a damn if she approves or not.
And let's not forget the animals. Fictive or not, they are important. The reality and the supernatural often slides into one another, and the limits between animals and humans can be very unclear. How was school, darling?
Hell.
What about your classes?
Torture.
And your friends?
Scum.
David, love, tell me, can you tell the difference between dog and God?
What a bizarre question. He had never known his mother to possess a metaphysical bent. Dog, God, he wasn't at all sure he could tell the difference.
Meg Rozoff advises her readers to be the biggest, the best, the most compassionate, the most interesting, the most generous person you can be. Meg Rozoff's brave and humorous stories are one of a kind. She is the laureate of the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award 2016.
A common idea is that great literature or art, like what we saw in the film here, comes from some divine talent or inspiration from somewhere. But all artists know that what you really need is stamina, or Sittfläsk, as we call it in Swedish. It's true. So, if you really want to become a good author like Meg, or maybe aspire to be able to sing like our next performer, Malena Engman, well, then all you had to do is start practicing and have a lot of Sittfläsk. Here she is, Malena Engman, Mats Bergström, the guitarist, with the song You'll Never Walk Alone.
Storm, hold your
Our Minister for Culture and Democracy, Alice Ba Kunke. Welcome up on stage.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Laureate Meg Rosoff. Taking care of small children can be exhausting. They don't sleep, they don't eat, they constantly make a mess, and they take a surreal amount of time to get dressed. But of course, they are small, soft, and they often smell nice. And it is amazing to discover the world in their company. They point out the obvious things that we have forgotten, but love to get to know again. How fluffy a bubble is, or how fun it is, or it can be to mess with clay. With teenagers in the family, things are slightly different. They leave us more time. They get dressed and organize their own social life, but they confront us with something that is not as easy to wipe off as it is to clean sticky fingers or to dry tears after a scrubbed knee. They confront us with questions about life and pure existence. Who am I? Can I be whoever I want? Where is my place in the world? Teenagers pinpoint the essence of life in a way that can be quite painful for us adults. And as adults, we still remember how strong these feelings could be and how devastating the consequences of our action could appear. The self-centeredness of teenage life makes us embarrassed. Teenage years are a bit like no man's land. No one is invited to come close, and there are no clear signs to mark the direction. It is comfortable for the rest of us to keep it on a certain distance, and it can be awfully difficult to dig into our teenagers' emotions, since it forces us to reflect on our own lives. Someone who doesn't fear this is the year's laureate of the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award, Meg Rossoff. Dear Meg Rossoff, you are brave enough to dive into teenagers' minds, and you create a world where they are the most important persons. A world where a young boy causes natural disasters in the world, depending on which girls he falls in love with. You point out that having imaginary companions is not necessarily something that can be useful only for small children. Your main characters struggle with the same issues that all teenagers do, but they find new, unconventional, and creative ways to deal with them. Death, love, identity, you avoid none of these questions that parents might fear when saying goodnight to the teenager of their full day of work. You are certainly not making life comfortable. Just like Astrid Lindgren, Meg Rossoff does not fear the most difficult questions in life. Despite Astrid Lindgren's often idyllic scenery, questions about life, love, and death always lie under the surface. Meg Rossoff handles these questions in a unique and unpredictable way, and that is one reason why her work is loved by so many and why she today is being awarded the largest prize for literature for children in the world. Meg Rossoff's work echoes the message in the work of Astrid Lindgren. Ask all the questions, declare all your fears. I will not provide you with the answers, but I will stand by your side. This is the way that also Astrid Lindgren's authorship has worked for millions of children around the world. Both Lindgren and Rossoff have also been champions in making young people look upon book reading as a perfectly normal and fun thing to do. Dear Meg Rossoff, you give our young ones strength to be who they want. Their search for identity can be painful, but it is extremely important for society as a whole that everyone can live their full potential, to become citizens with democratic values who are eager to defend their freedom or fight for it. Thank you.
Beautiful words, and it's good if you stand here because now I would like to invite Boel Westin, who is the chairman of the 12-member expert jury. Yes, welcome up. Because Boel. Boel is going to read the citation for the 2016 Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award laureate. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Dear laureate, dear audience, ladies and gentlemen, love and loss, memory and time are some of the themes of the books of Meg Rossoff. Time erodes us all, it is said in one of her novels, actually what I was. And although that is true about us, whatever one might think about it, it is certainly not true about her novels. They will grow and they will stay in our memories for a very, very long time. Dear Meg Rossoff, dear Meg, your novels speak to the emotions as well as the intellect. In sparkling prose, You write about the search for meaning and identity in a peculiar and bizarre world. Your brave and humorous stories are one of a kind. You leave no reader unmoved. Och nu på svenska. Meg Rosoffs ungdomsböcker talar till både känsla och intellekt. På en gnistrande prosa skriver hon om människans sökande efter mening och identitet i en besynderlig och bizarr värld. Hon lämnar aldrig läsaren oberörd. Ingen bok är nadda lik i detta modiga och humoristiska författarskap. And that concludes the words from the jury. Thank you.
Just waiting for music. I think I can hear something. Well, finally, Meg, let's get on. The thing that everybody is waiting for, may I cordially ask you to come up on stage. Meg Rosoff.
Speechless, but I am so honored to be the recipient of the Astrid Lindgren Memorial Award for 2016. I keep waiting for it to sink in and become normal, but it just keeps leaping up to astonish me. I've been thinking about children a great deal this year, about the ones who live in tents in Calais, who have traveled alone from Syria, and the ones who have died trying. About children whose lives are traumatized and ruined by what grown-ups decide is worth fighting over. Closer to home, I've been thinking about children in the UK who never play outdoors, who hardly play at all, who believe what their parents and their government tell them, that nothing is more important than exams, that they must cram as much information into their brains as possible, that they must be literate and read books, but it is okay to close libraries and do away with librarians. The government says that children must not daydream or waste time or look out the window. The government says that art and music and books will not help children to be successful. In other words, to make lots of money. I meet these children all the time. Sometimes they get great marks on their exams, and sometimes they cut themselves, and they starve themselves, and they suffer depression and anxiety. Teachers are not allowed to waste time either. They have boxes to tick and forms to fill out. Perhaps that is why teachers in the UK are resigning in record numbers. from what has become a joyless profession. Learning has become joyless as well, but students are not able to quit. Instead, they carry on, trained through childhood, not to daydream, not to use their imaginations, not to play. In Britain, we are experiencing, quite literally, an assault on childhood. Astrid Lindgren once said, "Everything great that ever happened in this world happened first in someone's imagination." Someone in Sweden imagined that you could accept 6,000 refugee children into your schools and that society would somehow survive, that you could encourage writers for children, and even for a week, treat them like rock stars. Someone thought that librarians and teachers might be as important as bankers and lawyers. Maybe it was because someone had the idea that without encouraging children's imagination, there would be no hope for humanity. Astrid Lindgren reminds us that it is children who will take over the running of the world. So there is nothing more important than how we talk to them, how we teach them, what values they learn, what books they read, what sort of future they can imagine. It is a great honor and a great responsibility to carry on the work that Astrid Lindgren began. I am not only grateful for the recognition that the prize brings, but for a country that puts such tremendous value on children's books and on children's imaginations. In the memory of Astrid Lindgren, and with particular thanks to the heroes of her books, who are brave and original and free, and with my very deepest gratitude to the Alma jury, I accept this award with wonder and with joy. I will do my very best to be worthy of it.